1 Kings 14 tonight. We're going to cover 1 Kings 14, 15, 16, 17. Shouldn't be a problem. Should be out of here pretty soon. No, we're just looking at a few verses here tonight. Hope it would be a help, an encouragement to you, a warning to you. Warnings are good every now and then. Am I on, Joe? All right. Warnings are good every now and then when you're headed in a dangerous direction. Been at the airport recently, and they've changed things. They put a roundabout at the airport, and which will be interesting to watch the planes do that. I'm excited to see that. But as you pull in, it's like, don't, this exit's closed. Yeah, but I used to go that way. Yeah, but there's a warning that says exit closed. It'd be wise to heed the warning. If I was going the wrong way, you know, it makes me nervous. You see big signs on the highway when there's off traffic, on traffic, and they have big signs that say wrong way. How would you like to be driving and all of a sudden you pass that sign? Oh, right? I mean, it makes you scared, right? Those are good warnings. We don't get upset at the warning. We're usually pretty thankful someone warned us. Well, tonight's message is kind of a warning. As you know, King Saul, he reigns for 40 years, and then David takes after King Saul. After David reigns Solomon, his son, for 40 years. I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago we looked at Solomon. Solomon sought after wisdom but did not apply his own wisdom. He had the right words, but he didn't have the right actions. And that was the downfall of his kingdom. Solomon has a son. His name is Rehoboam. He takes over while he's reigning. The kingdom splits like God said it would. And so you have Jeroboam and the 10 tribes of Israel to the north. And then you have two tribes to the south. No good king ever comes out of Israel to the north. But there's a series of good kings and to the south out of David's line. And unfortunately, Rehoboam is not one. And imagine your grandfather being David, your father being Solomon, and you, after seeing those things, decide to make different decisions. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter number 14, starting in verse 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. 1 Kings 14, 21. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. Can't blame it on inexperience or age. Josiah, later on, will take the throne as a very young man, 8 years old. But here, this is not the case. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah of an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy, that's speaking of God, with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. Again, this is one generation from David. They also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. There were also Sodomites in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations, which the Lord cast before the children of Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that of that truth, God, that you never fail. God, it's good to know that your principles, your truth is always right. As we read this morning, that God, it is impossible for you to lie. Thank you that those truths, those promises are true today. God, I pray that you'd help us to heed this warning, that we would not be subject and that we would not fall victim to the same mistakes that King Rehoboam had done. Lord, I pray you'd help us with these things here tonight. God, I pray that you'd help us to be just open and honest with you. Holy Spirit of God, that you'd move up and down these rows here tonight and, Lord, meet our needs. Please, God, we need you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read this, I would say a sad story. Here's a king that has every opportunity to do right. It's not like he has a Congress he has to pass things through, or a Senate, or he has a Supreme Court that if he wants to do right by God, he can do it. But he chooses not to. That's a sad thing. Hey, let us remember in our own life, sin is a choice, right? Yeah. We're kind of like the king of our own kingdom, and we're aware of what is right and what is wrong. And even if the whole world around us is doing wrong, and what do we see in verse 24? And there were Sodomites in the land. Hey, so what? There's always been sin around us. Just don't let it in. Well, and they did according to the abominations of the nations. That's a wicked thing. They took the sins of the lands that were around them. Hey, as Christians, you're going to be surrounded by the world. That's part of it. Just don't let it in. Don't allow it to come into your kingdom. As we continue the story, verse 25. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam. So, king of Judah here in Jerusalem. Fifth year that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. There was a time when no nation could defeat Israel. Why? Because they had the ark? No, because they had God. And they walked after the things of God. God had surrounded the nation of Israel. There was no falling there. You could be outmanned 300 to a nation, and Israel would win. Why? Because God was there. What a sad thing when the world comes up against God's people and can get victory because God's people aren't walking with God. Egypt comes up against Israel. Should not be a problem. But today it is. And this king comes in, King Shishak, and king of Egypt, and what does he do? He loots. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. And the treasures of the king's house. And he even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. The enemy comes right into the house of the king of Israel. And just starts taking the most valuable things. And say, we'll take this. And we'll take this. And we'll take this. How is that possible? Because Rehoboam opened the door to them. He allowed wickedness and evilness, and God's presence wasn't anywhere near that place. Allowing the enemy to loot the house of the king. What a sad thing. That'd be like our enemies walking into the White House and just defaming it and taking it and making a mockery of it. What a sad, sorrowful thing that would be. That's exactly what happened here. The enemy came into the king's house and took all away. Hold your hand here. I want you to look at John chapter number 10. So that's pretty bad for Israel. John chapter number 10, it says, the thief cometh not, John 10, 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Hey, let us remember, the enemy has one agenda. No, the enemy's not that bad. No, the enemy has one agenda. The thief, he's not coming in to, for Thanksgiving. He's not coming in to bring gifts. He's not coming in. A thief breaks into things to steal things, to take things, to hurt people. Every now and then I forget and I open up Fox News and just look at the headlines, and it breaks my heart to see some of the court cases, to see what man does to other men, see what people do to children. Hey, they're not coming into fellowship, A thief comes in, the king of Shishak, the king of Egypt, came into the house of Israel, came into the king's house, came into God's place, not to make right, but to kill and to destroy, it says. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Hey, this world and the Lord are very different. The ways of God and the ways of this world are very different. We said this in our Sunday school class. The education, the entertainment desires to destroy the minds of our children. There's a thief out there. There's a real enemy out there. And they're not looking to make buddies. They're looking to do harm. The king of Egypt was coming into the house of the king of Israel not to make an alliance. No, he was looking to take the most valuable possessions. Can I ask you to just for a moment think in your life, what is the most valuable possessions? Our children. Hey, there's a real enemy out there trying to take them, trying to corrupt them. You know, let's be mindful of that. Hey, it'd be real important for us, as we said in our Sunday school class, how can we teach our children the truths of the Scriptures if I myself am not walking with the Lord? In Deuteronomy chapter number 6, it said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy strength and with all thy soul and might. That one. And then you can teach the things diligently. Hey, let us remember, had Rehoboam walked with the Lord how he should have, oh sure, the king of Egypt could have come, but God. Luke chapter number 22. Hey, there's a real enemy out there. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I'm just trying to warn you. Luke chapter number 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The devil desired to get a hold of Peter. Don't you think the devil desired to get a hold of you? But I have prayed for thee. Thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Hey, isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing knowing that we have an advocate? One that goes on our behalf. 1 Peter chapter number 5. A couple weeks, I don't know. I think it was last week. When did we go to the zoo? Remember? Anybody remember? Was it last week? Was it Monday? It was the Monday before? No, it was a Friday. Wasn't last Friday, the Friday before. All right, thank you. Went to the zoo. How many of you been to the Seneca Park Zoo? All right, good. Pretty cool place, right? And there you are. You walk in. There used to be a rhino right when you walked in. I don't know where he went. He's in the back now. And they changed things around. I was confused. The big monkey house is gone. There's no snake house anymore. Birds. I don't know where everything went. But you walk through and you go around. But they have this huge, enormous display with lions. Anybody see the lions? There's a big lion. Did you see a lion? Did you hear the lion? So we're standing there, and it's just walking back and forth along. It's got a whole path walked all the way around that fence. And the lady lions are just lounging. You know, they're just like, la, la, la. And the big lion, the guy lion's working, right? I mean, that's how that goes. And he's working. He's just walking up and down, keeping the place safe. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, he just started talking. And man, he was just talking a little bit. Ooh, that's quite a noise when that joker starts making noise. The roar of a lion, that instills a little fear. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I thought of that verse as I'm watching that lion go back and forth. And I don't know what that was in that fence. I don't know if there was electrical current or whatever, because he didn't even brush up against it. I'm just glad there was something between me and him. Why? Because I would have been an Italian assorted sub for him. That's what would have happened. I come with my own oil. It's the whole thing. That would have been it. I'm glad there was a buffer between, hey, when the king of Egypt comes up against the man of God or the house of Israel, I sure would like a buffer in between called God Jehovah. In my life, it sure is a good idea to be walking with the Lord, that when the temptations and that real devil and that real thief and that enemy that really does want to sift you and do harm to you and destroy your testimony and ruin your walk, sure would be nice that I could see that ahead of time and know that the Lord Jesus Christ is in between me and him. There's a real enemy out there looking to really loot you. Go back with me to 1 Kings chapter number 14. Again, I'm not trying to scare you. I know tomorrow the world has got some crazy holiday, Halloween, and we don't do that much, but I enjoy candy. That's the part I do. I don't go to the places. I don't dress up, but I do eat chocolate, and I do it all year. I don't just wait till October 31st. That's good, isn't it? Brother Calby and I celebrate all year long. Monday we go to the insulin doctor. By Friday we get our candy. I'm not trying to scare you like, ooh, this is a scary thing. Hey, this is just real. There really is an enemy that's looking to destroy and ruin and mess up things. He's looking in to come into your house and take the most valuable things. The story continues in this way in King Rehoboam. So what happened? The king of Shishak comes in and he steals the shields of gold. What does the king do? And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them into the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. The king, after having been looted by the enemy, having the golden shields taken, says, I know what I'll do. I'm going to fabricate new shields. But this time we'll make them out of brass. Golden shields were not for war. If you're familiar with gold, it's a soft metal. It was a decorative piece. And those guards that stood guard of the king's house and now have these brass shields, again, these were not for war. These were decorative. I was doing some reading about the difference between gold and brass, and gold is much shinier, softer, much more valuable. Brass is a combination of copper and I think it's tin. The purpose of the brass shields, why would the king do that? The purpose of the brass shields was to assure the people that everything was okay. It was to display that, no, don't worry. The enemy did us no harm. We are still just as prosperous as before. All is well. But the truth was, a substitute was made. What was demonstrated that day was a false sense of security. Go with me to Amos chapter number 6. The gold shields had been taken. So Rehoboam made brass shields. And Amos chapter number 6 and verse 1, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. I'll give you a second. While you find Amos, I hope this is my water. I found it out there. I think I left it from this morning. I don't see any chapstick or anything. It tastes like water. Amos 6, 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. He warns Israel, Amos does, be careful what you're putting your trust in. Oh, sure, you might feel ease, but you're leaning on the thing that's going to give out. And why did King Rehoboam, back in 1 Kings 14, make brass shields? Because he wanted the people to think everything's okay. A false sense of security. Go with me to John chapter number 5. We have two more points here tonight. Say, I didn't understand the first ones. Looting of the enemy, the fabricating of brass. Now we have a false sense of security. John chapter number 5 and verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Hey, there's some people that think that they're all good with the Lord. Why? Because they're holding a brass shield. Look at what I've made. Look at my sense of security. And the Lord says, oh, no, no, no. You think, but you need to come to me for life, he says. Hey, without Christ, there is no life. No, no, I'm going to do it my way. No, you're making a brass shield is what you're doing. There's only one way. Look at Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3, look at verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by keeping the law. Nah, that's not what that says. Many a people feel like, hey, if I could just manufacture my faith, I could just manufacture my salvation. No, the Bible says that we're justified by faith. It's the Lord's doing, not mine. Salvation is not in keeping the law, but through faith. The law simply reveals to me that I need the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one here that's without sin. There's no one here that's good enough to earn salvation. Not one. And if you think that your works are good enough to get you to heaven, hey, you have a false sense of security. But through Christ, he says, I am life. You know, through Christ, look at John chapter number 10. When someone puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you know what happens? John chapter 10, verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Not even you yourself. You humble yourself. You ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. And then 10 years down the way, you tell God, I don't want to be saved anymore. Too bad. There's no man that can get them. Not even you. He says, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to hold you. You know what that is? That's real security. That's eternal security. And I'm thankful for that. Yes, sir. Man tries to create a false sense of security. I'm going to manufacture something, even though I've lost all that is good and right. I'm going to manufacture something to make it look like everything's okay. The enemy has done us no harm. All is well. When in fact, you've just been looted. False sense of security with salvation. How about this? Psalm 50. Look at verse 21. These things hast thou done, and I keep silence. Psalm 50 and verse 21. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as myself, but I reproved thee and set them in order before thine eyes. You think that because God isn't saying anything, he's okay with what's going on. Rehoboam made the brass shields and everyone was okay. He's kind of looking around like, wow, that flew. All right, we'll keep with that. And we do things and maybe we give up the gold shield and replace it with the brass one. And we kind of get away with it for a little while. We give up God's best to deal with, and we think, I've gotten away with something, and God says, oh no. The things that thou hast done, and I kept silence. No, I saw that. You can't invite the Lord along for a sinful walk. He doesn't walk that way. Number one, there was a false sense of security. Number two, there was a false substitute. I'm going to ask you tonight, do you have false or do you have brass shields in your life? The world tries to convince us to be satisfied with less than God's best. Oh no, this is the same thing. Anybody have like a $20 bill? Anybody have? I know who I'm asking. I get it. I understand. Who carries cash? Anybody have a $20 bill? If I'm going to make an exchange. If you give me 20, I'll give you 50. You good? All right. Straight up, you said yeah. And this is exactly what the world does. I'm going to take something valuable. Oh, and I'll replace it. And you'll think you made out. This is 50. I don't even know you can call it dollars. And that's what the world does. I'm going to take the gold shield and I'm going to give you the brass one. And you know who lives out? You're not happy about that, are you? I am. Oh, yeah. Appreciate that. But do you see what the world does? I'm going to take something so good and so right. How did this all happen? Because Jeroboam refused to walk with God. And we think, I could have done 100, brother. I had 100. I didn't know where we were going to go with it. But this is all because Rehoboam refused to walk with God. And because he refused to walk with God, the world just came right in. And you think, I'm not talking about your home, I'm talking about you personally. And the devil's looking to come in and take your most valuable possessions and even make an exchange to make it look like everything's okay. But what you give up is the gold shield. What you're given is a brass one. And the devil will gladly take that exchange of God's best for something less over and over and over again. He will expect you to give up your purity for just a little compromise. Godly holiness for a response something similar to, well, no one's perfect. He will gladly exchange the truth for some sort of misrepresentation. He will gladly take the separation. Men, be ye separate, saith the Lord, for just a little worldly pleasure. He will gladly exchange your spiritual walk for a little carnality. He will take your obedience to God and be satisfied with partial disobedience. He will exchange humility for self-important. It's not pride. It's just taking care of you. And what he takes is the gold shield. Say, I never saw it coming. It's because you weren't walking how you should walk. It's because there's groves set up at every tree. And you've neglected the things of God, and you haven't been in His Word, and you're not talking with Him anymore, and you can't hear His voice anymore. And the king of Egypt just walked right in. And to make it look like everything's okay, you've designed a brass shield. When what was stolen was the gold one. So what's the solution? Well, the best thing is to walk with the Lord day after day. To walk with Him and talk with Him. We sang the song tonight. To have a real relationship with God. That's your best defense against the enemy. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't allow the world any little step into your kingdom. Know what King Rehoboam should have done? He said, if God was with him, he could have said, boys, someone took something from us and we're going back to get it. Instead of trying to manufacture something to make it look all right. Hey, in your life, has the devil come into your house, into your kingdom, and taken something, and you were willing to build a brazen shield to make it look like everything's okay, but it's not okay. All is not well. The enemy has done you harm. Let's all stand tonight. Have you exchanged the golden shield for the brass? I'm going to ask you tonight, I want you to evaluate in your heart and in your mind, how's your walk with God? Because that's where this all rooted from, this all started from. If in your heart and in your mind you say it could be better, then make it better. Do the things that you know are right. Do walk with the Lord. Spend time in fellowship with God. Turn off the world. Because the devil will gladly make the simple exchange for God's best for something to just satisfy and make it look like it's okay. Maybe you've exchanged. Maybe you've made the exchange of God's best for what the world has to offer. I want to get that back. Well, then you come deal with God in your heart and say, I want back what was mine. In just a moment, the music's going to play. I ask that you'd consider, have you exchanged the gold shield for the brass one? Heavenly Father, I ask you, bless this time of invitation now. God, you'd work in our midst. Lord, help us to be honest with you. Lord, this is our life. If there was a a danger amongst our own people. It's a brass shield to make everything look like it's still okay. Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?